Baby's got the stats and he's the leader of the team. Mark's magic multi keeps the punters keen. Trainer's crunching numbers and he's saving his trades. Guzzy says he's calm but he's got people to spray. And there's Dan, he'll join in whenever he can. That's why we all call him the world's busiest man. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF.
Welcome to the Playing for Sheep Stations podcast ahead of Supercoach Finals. On this episode, we'll briefly touch on the season that was. It wasn't very good for me. It was pretty good for others. Some lessons that we learned and some takeaways for next year that, as Dan would say, we won't follow anyway. We'll analyse the finals draw, go position by position to look at the best options, looking at the obvious players and also trying to find a left field person, player, because I don't think everyone can have the same team. I'm joined by trainer Guardsy, Dan and Mark. They sound a bit loose tonight, but I'm praying that there's not a lot of editing to do. Trainer, you finished highest. Take the floor. How did you finish? What did you learn? And what are you going to do next year to start the year?
Well, I don't know if I learned anything, but I ended up 1,578th, so close but no cigar.
It's about a Herbie Farnworth out of the top 1,000, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's about a Herbie Farnworth out of the top 100.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, I was Emma and I were looking at our teams last night before we went to bed and went through a few things, and I worked out I got green arrows for like the last 8 weeks in a row or something, which I'm pretty proud of, but just didn't quite get there. And
you needed her team in the last few weeks.
Yeah, she didn't go heaps better than me, but probably enough better than to get me into the top 1,000. But yeah, I looked at, there was three real rank weeks where I got like two, I came like 90 something thousandth overall. The other, I was like 50,000th. They were Captain Payne Haas for 50, Captain Scotty Drinkwater for 28, and Captain Terrell May for about 50 as well. If I didn't have those 3 weeks, I frick knows where I would have been, but it was just interesting to have a bit of a look back and see where I could have gone a bit better, I suppose.
Any strategy going into next year, to lead into next year? Any thoughts on how you're going to put your team together? I know it's a long way away.
Anything just the same as usual. I think just looking for value at the start of the year is really important. Prioritise building the bank. So I looked and I had like my team was up to 15 or 16 million or something by round eight. I'd made like three or four million, whatever. I don't know what it was, but
started
like
at 12.
The first few rounds.
At 12.
Yeah, trade hard at the start, build the bank, and then try and set yourself up for the buy round, conserve. I don't know. I think the strategy I used this year was pretty decent, but just didn't quite get there.
Strategies around boosts. I think second year we've had boosts. What do you think around boosts? Are you a use them early kind of guy or save them for a bit later?
I had all my boosts used by round eight this year, and it seemed to work out pretty well. So,
yep. Last comment from you about the flex position. Question without notice. I didn't talk much about the flex. Do you like it or has it added something to the game?
Yeah, it's outstanding. The fact that you now have 18 players, and if someone has an absolute donk of a week, it just rolls out, and it's heaps better. Like your week isn't ruined by one bloke getting a spastic score. It has to be sort of two or three blokes.
Yeah, particularly if it's early. Like if you have two low scores in the Thursday game, your week's ruined pretty much, isn't it? So
yeah, and then you sort of got to change your captaincy tact partway through the week and go from there.
Yeah, well done on a good season. It's very close, very close. I actually looked for the prizes, and I don't think KFC sponsored it this year, so I'm not sure they would.
No, nah, because if I was in there, no chance I would have given anything away.
I don't think they were giving anything away after
good.
10th or something, so you didn't miss anything.
Good. Kent's.
Who was next, Guardsy or you, Dan?
You can.
Dan was next. So, Dan, similar questions. Give us a quick rundown on what you've learned. I'll ask you a couple of questions as well.
Sure. Hello, listener.
for the final time this season. Yes, I finished 4,845th, so I got 738 green arrows this week, so inside the top 5,000, inside the top 3%. Yeah, I had a few sort of poor weeks at the end. Just trying to.
I feel like you gave up, Dan. I feel like you gave up there about 3 or 4 weeks before the end. If you had stayed the course, you might have finished even higher.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I got a little disheartened.
Did
And
that coincide with running out of trades?
I think so, yeah. Yep. And, just the fact that I'd let myself down, let everyone else down, saying that I was keeping trades and I didn't have any. So that's.
I've never felt so let down, to be
Yeah.
fair.
Question about that, Dan. You were very adamant you wanted three trades and a boost at the end. Have you changed your tune around boosts? We just heard Matt say that he'd used all his boosts by round eight. What strategy do you think you'll take into next year around trades and boosts? Is there a chance that you backward map? We're all teachers, so we're going to backward map our trades so that you've got a certain number of trades and focal points throughout the year.
Yeah, I think, like I said last week, I think I made some silly moves, sort of trading people out. Like I use that rolling gun theory, like we do in BBL a little bit. Decide with the flex coming in this year, I decided to sort of use that through there too, and sort of burnt some trades early, but was adamant that I was going to keep one at the end because of all these mass restings, and then they started happening 2 weeks out rather than 1 week out. I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later on with people whinging about resting players and all that nonsense, but and then wanting games on different days, whatever. Yeah, I think, yeah, bloody dogs.
Fancy a team other than the Broncos looking for a favourite from the NRL. Bloody hell.
Please. Broncos of the Storm.
Sorry.
Did you see how far they're trying to make us walk from our bus?
That'll do me.
Unbelievable.
That will do me. Professional athletes having to walk. Oh, wow. This
Please.
is going to be a long podcast,
Yeah.
isn't it?
They're on a list.
Sorry.
Anyway, yeah, so the like I think I would love to make a bold declaration that I would love to be in the same position again next year, but with trades in the end.
Are you adamant you need a boost, or is that theory a bit lost now?
I think if you can get it right at the start, like I thought I was pretty close to being, like I think we sort of established at the start of the podcast, like this year, that if I'd made like some different calls in terms of sitting players and captains, like I was up in the top 10 overall.
I
So
remember that after about week five.
yeah, and the Pele panic would have just
He's never recovered
been
since.
too much, but I think like this year was a year that I did put in the work in the off season to get it right, and I think yeah, just sort of yeah, fell away a little bit.
Running the Supercoach Sandhills, Dan.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, just
See,
put in the
I've
work.
done the same thing for the last 2 years, trainer. How did I used to go when I did nothing until the week before? I used to perform really well. Now that I've done X amount of study before the thing and made my bamboozled myself, I've gone terrible. I think I might go back to just drinking all off season and picking it up a week before.
Well, you'll be busy most of the off season this year. So, but yeah, like I think I'm gonna bring in trainers some. I'm gonna bring in a little black book. I know he had his book this year, so I think I'm gonna try and take that on board for next season. Got a bit more free time, so hopefully I'll be able to write in it.
Nice. Thanks, Dan. Guardsy, that means you're next.
Yes.
Hit us with the end results. I know you haven't had trades since about round 21. Is that right? 21 or
Yes,
22?
around 2021, something like that.
So let us know how you finished. And did you field a full team all the way through to the end of the year?
Yeah, so I finished 6,237th, but I had a stinker of a last round. I went backwards 1,335 spots. So, but I had a shit year. I sat around the like 5,000 to 10,000 for a lot of it. I just couldn't make up ground. So,
What do you think that is? Because in the past, you've been able to make ground up pretty easily. Now it's not as easy, is it? Once you get to about 5,000, your team's a bit like everyone else's. It's pretty tricky. Your team's never like anyone else's.
I
It's
know. Oh,
got.
it's really good pods, and they just like Katoni Staggs, Ronaldo. But
Well,
then
you had Walshy, didn't you?
I didn't
Christian.
have Walshy. That's what.
Money man.
Royce Hunt was another.
Oh, the ultimate pot in the last week.
But yeah, I think most weeks I had 17 or 18 for the last like 3 weeks. So
Anything you've learned from this year that you will take into next year, or just business as usual?
I learned that I'm going to stick to my guys from now on because Blake Brayley hurt.
Yeah, I bet, because he is one of your guys. You declared him the week before, like the week before the Roosters game, which is was his breakout game, turned up, went berserk for about 4 weeks after that, and you ended up
Yep.
with Wade Egan somehow.
I'm going to stick with my heart from now on.
Yeah.
Heart knows what it wants.
Anything different you'll do with trades?
No.
There's no promises, guards. He's going to have no trades left by 21 again.
To
Using
be fair, I would have had a couple more, but every
injuries.
person I own kept getting injured.
I'm going to ask you this question, Guardsy, and it's around the flex. I asked Trainer, is there a way that you think you'll use the flex differently last year? Because I looked at your team sometimes and the bloke sitting in the flex, feed income, I don't even know how he ended up getting there. You think the Broncos have got to walk a long way off the bus this week? I don't know how anyone could walk that far into the flex position in your team. I can't even remember who it was, but I think it was just so random.
Oh no, I think I had Key on there 1 week.
Yeah, but no, more random than that, like a super pod sitting in your flex that I don't even know what you're
It
doing.
just happened that way. You know, I like to trade, and the only way I could trade was to bring him in. I can't even remember who it was, but I needed to find a way to bring him in, and that's what the flex allowed me to do for a week.
So is that how you'll use the flex next year as well, or do you think it is a position made
Sometimes.
for an extra fullback?
It depends. Like, I couldn't afford to go some of the big guys like Tedesco and that, so I went a cheaper pod for a week to get me them the next week. So it's only really a 1 week. I wouldn't do it long term, but I like it because it gives you that option for more weeks.
Yeah, I think I did that with Herbie Farnworth at one point. That was the only position I could get him in. I used someone's money to get him in at fullback and
Yeah.
then flipped him up a few weeks later. But
It's good like that because other years you wouldn't have been able to, and then you wouldn't have got guys in that you wanted.
yeah. So I think ultimately you want the extra fullback, but if it means sacrificing that for a couple of weeks because it helps your team, I think that's not a bad strategy. Mark, that brings me to you. You're next.
Yeah, 1553 this week. But usually you'd expect to go up off that, but not this week. Dropped 15 spots and ended up in 12,294th spot. Abolished the VC loophole. That's my
So you looped this week.
Looped Tedesco, took the captaincy off Cleary. Not that it really cost stacks, but I mean, we talk about it a lot, and we often say, don't outthink the room. And this year, there's been a lot of players who got monster scores that hurt because I tried to outthink the room and not go with the obvious choice. So Pappenhausen, when he get 180 as captain, and everyone had him but me. Never owned Herbie. Reece Walsh at the end of the year didn't own Reece. Those players who go on a run and you just think.
It's an easy one in hindsight, though, because I bought Drinky after three big scores and he didn't score a D. He got up to 900,000. I paid top dollar, and then he didn't get continue that run. It's a bit of that catch 22. I think Matt, you were the one that was saying all year he can't keep scoring tries. Herbie can't keep scoring tries. Guess what he did till he got injured? Kept scoring tries. Even when he wasn't over the line with the ball, someone passed the bastard to him. Like crazy, crazy stuff on that. I think you're right, Mark, in that you've got to time that run. The other one that comes to mind is Mark Nwaneni-Nwaeze. A lot of people bought him for the bye round. He had a big score, and then he went about 3 weeks at 20 or 30 when Sam Walker came back. Then he went good again. So it's really tricky to time that. Outthink the room is a really good comment, but I also think patience on players. I know I look back through a lot of things and someone's injured for 2 weeks, and it's really easy. For a guy that you probably would have kept through that 2 weeks to make the change, you can still bring a bloke in for that. So he might be an 80 averaging player. Eli Katoa is probably the good example where I was patient with him. He had a couple of weeks off. I didn't trade him. The bloke I would have traded him to didn't do very well anyway. I was able to get like a 40 or 50 in that position, and then I had Eli Katoa and I'd saved a trade. So patience there. Bo Firma is an example, Mark. I think
What I
you
was going
traded
to
him in
say.
and out a couple of times. Dan, you traded him out and never got him back.
Yeah, so I brought him, and then a couple of weeks of him playing centre, and I was just like, I'm done with this. He goes back to the second row, scores some tries, had some pretty decent little scores, and that was, a trade that I didn't need to make, and I could have made it elsewhere.
All right, so that means I came last. 13,
Not always a bad thing.
13, no, well, in Supercoach, not the best. 13-169, couldn't beat my wife.
Once
I
again, not always a
scored
bad thing.
1,629. I came home with a wet sail. I was a long way back. I was in application areas with Dom, and I somehow managed to get myself out of application areas. I look forward to Dom's application over the off season for the Playing for Sheep Stations League. It's always a beauty. I hope I can figure out how to get it up on the socials, because the last one that he sent me, fair dinkum, it was amazing. What did I learn? I learned that it was the year of the big men till it wasn't. So front rowers and our big grindy second rowers did really well in the first 5 weeks. That's probably something I'll take into next year. I might spend up big on May and Haas and just have them there from the get-go and try and find those guys like your Casey McLeans, your who else was a bit of a lower Purdue. Be patient. Metcalf was someone that you had to be patient with at the start of the year. Even if they have a couple of low scores, you just need to wait till they get their bigger score and then cash out when you can. Not hold them for too long. I held Purdue for too long just because he had a pretty good buy schedule. He wasn't the greatest player, but I could have got off him earlier. So making those decisive trades. It's what I noticed with you, Matt, this year. You have commented in the past that you've always waited a week too long. This year, I didn't feel like you waited a week too long. You got him when you needed to. Just being a bit stubborn on Herbie probably cost you, and that might be something that you take into next year, but you certainly acted the week earlier than you would have, and I think your result
Yeah, I had a lot less injuries to deal with this year too. I feel like I was pretty lucky with that sort of thing, which allowed me to actually play how I wanted to play rather than
react.
deal with shit and then catch up on what I wanted to do, really.
And it's a bit of luck in that as well, isn't there? My
Yep.
last question will go around the room. Will you go back to Turbo in 2026, Matt?
Probably not.
Guardsy?
No chance.
Dan?
If he's available at centre wing.
What if he's
Well,
available at centre wing? Is that
yeah, if he's available at centre wing, I'm definitely starting with him.
Mark?
Yeah, centre wing.
Not at fullback?
No, I think there's better fullback options than him now.
Yeah, like if as soon as Adam Reynolds goes down, Reece Walsh turns into the most elite of all fullback options. And then Tedesco is just he's unbeatable. Scotty Drinkwater kicking goals is freaky.
Back.
Latrell will be in centres as well, apparently.
Yeah, Latrell Mitchell.
So we could have up to five, but I
We've
mean,
talked about this as well with Clint Gutherson always starting the year really strong
yeah.
as another option if you want to go a little.
Pass.
I know you were keen on that one, Trainer, but yeah.
So he hasn't learned his Herbie mistakes
Well,
then.
Ponga might be back too.
I shan't be wasting a trade on getting Clint Gutherson out of my team.
Ponga's the one that probably scares me off unless he leaves the Knights. I think at the Knights, I'm not keen. If Fletcher Sharp went back to fullback, I'd be very, very keen. I think he's pretty dangerous in that position. The other guy that I think I'll start with, set and forget, Dylan Lucas. Hopefully, he can get through the year without injuries. He's just an absolute machine. He's very much in that Bo Firma mould. So there's the recap from us personally. From a league point of view, the weekly winner, Mary's Munster's back to back, 1753. But five players went over 1700. Daniel, coach of Ponga for PM. I think that's one of your mates, Dan.
Yeah.
Joa, Mark and my mate from cricket, coach of Munster Mash, also over 1700. Emma, coach of Little to No Clue. I actually looked at that team name. It's pretty clever. She did well. That's your wife, Matt. She went over 1700. She had two great scores to finish the year, maybe
Yep.
three.
Inside the top 10,000, so she's
Yeah, stoked. That's a good
she'll
finish.
play again.
Yep, wonderful. And Ed, coach of Slippery When Wet, all went 1700 plus. Plenty of 1600 scores. Like Mark said, I think 1500 was the 1000 this week. Like that's about where you had to be well over 15 or 1600 to make any moves. So,
Few of us boys up in the top five too of the league.
oh
So,
yeah, no, well done. I'm about to get to that, Dan.
Well, very exciting.
Winner of the overall, LeBron James. It would have been an injustice if he didn't take it out. He ended up about 60 in front of you, Matt, I think.
I'm just trying to look it up here.
An Asako masterclass on the last day against a depleted Canberra. probably was the sealing ticket for Lebong. So well done to Adam, coach of Lebong James.
Have to print
Well,
your own certificate, though.
yeah, print your own certificate. We didn't get the 50 in the league. Hopefully next year we get above 50 and the jersey will be on offer. So hopefully everyone who has played this year comes back.
Bring a friend.
Bring a friend, tell your friends about the podcast. We do it without ads. We're one of the very few podcasts without ads. I think we're insightful. I think if you do the opposite to us, you'll have a really good time. Right. Except for Matt. Listen to Matt, but not on Herbie. All right. The main reason for this podcast, and we've never done one after round 27, is that Supercoach Finals is back for the first time in 12 years. I don't remember the last time it was in. I remember Supercoach Origin was in not that long ago, or maybe it was a long time ago and I'm just old. We've got four games. Guardsy, you'll love this bit. Unlimited trades. The issue is you can only have two from each team this week. You've got to pick eight players. We'll delve into that after we have a quick look at the games and we talk about how we think the games are going to go, because what we predict the score and how we think it's going to go is going to be important in where you get people in each position. So the first game, Friday night, 7:50, no Thursday night football anymore, unfortunately. Second versus third, Storm versus Bulldogs. Here's the score from the last three second versus third games. 32-30, 26-0. You blokes will remember that one as Broncos fans over Melbourne, and 30-10. So it's a game that one side usually gets to 30, and in one of those games, the other team got to 30 as well. So fairly good defence, except for I think it was a game, might have been Sharks Cowboys or something like that, in that second versus third game. Yeah, Sharks Cowboys 32-30. How do you see this game, Storm versus Bulldogs, going? Mark, have you got any key ins and outs?
Yeah, so the big in for Melbourne is Harry Grant's back. So he's finished his suspension, back into that hooking role. But they do lose Pappenhausen, Hughes, and Asofa Solomona. Not that he's.
Well, they're not going to give away five penalties through
Yeah.
NAS this week.
So a few outs, but I think Harry Grant is the big in there, and he will pretty much just orchestrate the whole thing there from dummy half. So.
And for the Bulldogs, we've got Montoya.
Montoya and Bronson Cherry both out.
Do they play on the same side? They do, don't they? So we'll have a
Yeah.
new edge on that side. That's the
So
left hand, the
Koala's
left
gone into
side.
the centres, and Rinnakama and Blake Wilson are on the wings, although Carraz is on an extended
And the
bench.
mail is pretty strong that Carraz will be back. Carraz plays on the right-hand side. Yeah. So that doesn't help that left-hand side. So it'll be a completely new centre pairing on their left. Who's the right side?
Ellie Kitoa.
Oh, I see. And then Hughes is out. Imagine if Hughes was there, what a play that would be. Double, you know, like that could be a real, could have been a point of difference.
I suppose when it comes to Melbourne, there's a few little changes as well
Yeah, Joe Chan.
on the right-hand side, so that's where he's going to
Yeah.
be, inside Warbricks.
How do you see this game going, trainer?
I think it'll be low scoring.
Yeah, bit of a bludger. Mark said there's a bit of weather around in Melbourne on
Few showers
Friday night as
later in the
well.
week, so I mean the Bulldogs' attack last week against Cronulla was horrible.
And I
They
think.
scored one try, and it was from a bomb attacking Cronulla bomb that they tapped back straight into Tuala's hands, and he ran 90 meters and scored.
And they
So.
didn't look like scoring really after that. What do you think of Lachlan Galvin's inclusion in that team?
He was very sideways last week. He went for one run of about 40 meters, and it was pure sideways.
Guardsy, did you see the game, the Cronulla Bulldogs game?
Did.
What did you think? Did you feel like the Sharks pack got over the top of the Dogs pack? Or was it all out wide where they made?
Like the Sharks pack was better, like AFB and stuff, but the Dogs looked like they were just had no idea what they were doing.
Are you expecting this to be a low game, like a low scoring game? I
I
nearly
reckon Melbourne will beat them.
I just said nearly a low game,
I
but
reckon we'll beat
it
them.
wouldn't
I
be.
reckon Melbourne will beat them. Dogs look like terrible. If Dogs play like they did last week, Melbourne will beat them comfortably.
Yeah. I think so. We'll get into the players identification later, but Dan, do you agree that this is going to be a low scoring game?
Yeah, I think so. I think Harry Grant really tightens up in the middle there. Like, I know Melbourne have been sort of
I can
Lost a
only
lot of points in the last couple of weeks.
see one team really being able to score points. I can't see where the points are coming from the Bulldogs outside of Stephen Crichton. And that's like, I think they'll just close him down. I think that's going to be the task. Second game, Saturday, 4:05. So the only game, I know the Sunday game's also in the dry, which is very good.
Yeah, but Saturday 4:05 here is Saturday 6:05 in Auckland.
Yeah, wonderful. Beautiful sunny Auckland, do we know?
Doubt it.
Yeah, a bit like Newcastle, isn't it, Matt? Always rains.
It won't matter though what the weather's like.
No. Tell us how you think the game will go. I'll give you some. Can I give you some stats first on the last three scores in this game, sixth versus seventh? 30-14, 13-12, and 24-22. So the 13-12 game was Roosters Sharks, which is the next game that was in 2023. But it's usually quite a wide open affair, this one. And I think it will be very much the same, but for one team in particular.
Yep, that's how it's going to go. If you don't have two Panthers players in your finals team, then probably start again or fix it.
And maybe two Panthers in the attacking
Hell yeah.
positions.
Yeah, so I mean, on that, Rocco Berry's out again, injured. Catewell moves to the centres. So I think there's an opportunity for someone like Casey McLean, you mentioned before the pod. He's one who you could possibly target there, and he doesn't like to pass.
Matt's man, Brian Toto, do a hat trick.
So
Certainly. Yeah,
they're the type of areas I think. Although Wade Egan comes back, so they might have a bit more creativity around the ruck. But
he's been
I
putrid.
yeah.
I've watched him closely as an owner. He has been very ordinary. I believe it's a hip injury, which has hindered him being able to get out and engage the markers, and he's just been flipping it off the ground. I
No
watched.
Healy, let me tell you. He's no Healy.
No, I agree.
Well,
I'd prefer.
Healy's not even on the bench,
Yeah,
so
I'd prefer to go Healy. If Healy was in, I'd consider him more than Egan.
yeah.
Dan, how do you think this game's going to
Penrith win by a lot.
go? Yep. Guards, are you of the same opinion?
Thousands.
Nice. Mark, you're the same.
Yes.
And I'm the same.
So
The Saturday
put your
7.
hard earned on the Warriors.
Yeah. The Saturday 7:50 game, which is the
Interesting.
fifth v8 game, Sharks v Roosters. The last three scores in these games have been 28-20, 30-28, and 28-16. Plenty of points, and I can see plenty of points raining in this game as well.
Sorry, just before we move on, I think the Warriors could score in the first 10 seconds against the
Oh,
third. Just be careful.
wasn't that an absolute
Just be
classic?
careful, Penrith.
9 seconds, 9 seconds. Good one, Chair. Good one, Chairs.
I was just filthy. They stole it off Parramatta.
We had 13 seconds or
Yeah.
something, so. Anyway, Dan, how do you think the Sharks v Roosters game's going to go? 7:50 Saturday night at the massive crowd, in front of a massive crowd of about 12,000 at Shark Park. Mark made a comment about Guardsy and Trainer loving Shark Park because all they've got is Portaloos.
Individual cubicles. Catering for all people.
aside from that, Dan, how what do you think in this game?
Yeah, I don't know. The Roosters, I think the Roosters win myself, but Cronulla is just so up and down. Like last week, they obviously put it to the Bulldogs, but they've had
Yeah,
a
but
big couple of
for the
wins.
first 20 minutes, they offered very little as well, didn't they? Like, looked like it could have been a 2-0 game after 20 minutes. Neither of them looked like they could score. I don't think, see, Shark Park used to be a bit of a fortress for Cronulla, but I don't think it is that anymore. And the Roosters are in pretty red hot form. It's hard to see, well, I think it's hard to see the Sharks winning this game.
Trindle back too.
Yeah, I don't like
I
that.
don't
I
like
think they
that.
looked their best last week when Atkinson was in at 5'8" with Hines.
Great.
Thoughts around Hines being downgraded before even going to the judiciary because apparently the Bulldogs sent a letter that Montoya's injury wasn't too bad, but now Montoya hasn't been named.
He's out for the season.
No. They initially thought he was gone for 6 to 8 weeks, but now they think he'll be back next week.
Right.
Should a player's injury influence the suspension, or should it just be on the act?
On the act.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. How do
It
you see
is
this game going?
ridiculous, but at least we've got the right outcome because
Oh,
Hines shouldn't have even been fucking reported.
correct. It was a cover tackle. It
Yeah.
wasn't a hip drop. He didn't do it intentionally. It was just one of those accidents that happens on the footy field. Just because there's an injury doesn't mean there's got to be foul play. Thoughts on this game, Guardsy?
Which game is this?
Sharks, Roosters.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, are going to be high scoring. I don't know who's going to win, though. I don't know. Depends which Roosters turn up, which Sharks, and who knows? They've
Yeah.
both been hot and cold.
Yep. Trainer, what are your feelings on this game?
Yeah, I think the Chooks definitely have more attacking upside than almost anyone left in the comp. So I'll have a couple of Chookies in my finals team.
Nice. A funny little stat when I looked at all the games from 2022, 2023, 2024 in the finals games. In 2022, five outsiders won games. So five teams that were lower ranked than the team they played won games. And then in 23 and 24, only one game went against the favourite. So that would instill that in the last,
Over the whole
over the
final
whole
period.
final series.
Yeah, right.
So that would say, on recent form, only one game across the rest of the year will go against the team who finished higher. Not favourite for the game, but the team that finished higher on the ladder. So that's an interesting stat when you look at when you look at that, because the Warriors finished higher than the Panthers. We think that's going to be a game that the Panthers are going to win easily. The Roosters finished like the Sharks finished higher than the Roosters, and we all have pretty much said we think the Roosters are going to win. This leads me to the last game, and I've got some Broncos fans here, and I don't want to jinx it, but first versus fourth, the last time a team got beaten when they'd finished first in the year was 2019, and it was the Raiders who beat the Storm.
This means we're due.
So I think that game was like 12-10 or something like that. It was a pretty low game. 2019 also was the last time the Panthers didn't make the final series. So there's just a couple of little facts. But the interesting one around the last scores in this game, 27-8, 32-6, and 37-10. So the highest score by a team coming fourth was 10 points. Mind you, they were playing either Melbourne or Penrith in those games, two very good defensive teams. I don't think the Raiders fit that bill as much as those teams that have played in this game before.
That's such a
And
long time
it's
to get
dry
my
weather
friends
footy.
to, I think. Dry weather
footy. This game
And
is
the other
not,
teams didn't have Reece Walsh being a freak.
but this game's also not normally played at 4:05 on
That's
Sunday. It's
right.
normally played on the Saturday night.
Imagine. That's right.
So, anyone want to say anything about that? Ricky
Yes, I
getting
do.
his way?
Fuck him, we're gonna win.
Yeah, I hope we.
It plays into our hands. He's an idiot.
Yeah, I know. 4 o'clock on Sunday,
Because
absolutely.
they didn't get a long enough turnaround. Well, you
What did?
rested half your team, you
What
clown.
does he need? Fogarty, Hudson-Young to have 14 days off between games.
It's going to
Anyway,
help us.
I'm going to ask you, Mark, because you're the only one without being one-eyed in this. How do
What
you
do you think,
see
Andrew?
this game going?
What makes you angry that I'm an impartial?
No.
You are.
You're flipping around with Ricky Stewart
Oh,
nonsense.
come on, Mark. Give us your
I'm
impartial. Don't rile them up. Just give the
You
listeners what they.
never have heard me say a bad word about Ricky Stewart.
Oh God,
Lovely. Bullshit.
I don't know that anyone can be impartial on this bloody panel at the moment in this game. Hurry up and be sensible. We haven't
He's
got
got
long.
two attacking teams. I think that the Raiders win in Canberra.
So the deciding point will be that they're the home team.
Yep.
I feel like being the other impartial person here, I do think it'll be a bit of a shootout. I think a lot will go through the Broncos' edges, and I think a lot will go through the Canberra middle. I think Payne Haas and Pat Carrigan could be too strong, lay too solid a platform. And your outside backs in Shibasaki and Staggs are probably a little bit better matched, I think, than Seb Chris and Timoko. And I think any team with Jed Stewart in it should not be a team that should be the favourite or
Yeah,
getting
but they've
anywhere
only
near.
lost, before last week, they've only lost four games all season.
So,
So there's got to be something in that.
there does, but at some point, that's probably got to. I don't know. I think the attacking prowess of the Broncos is probably something that I'm really interested in watching how that goes against the Raiders. Do you boys have an impartial word to say, or are you just going to back your team to the hilt? Because I would be.
I'm backing them.
You're
Well,
backing them.
I think
You can tell they're all
Supercoach
up and about
talk
because they're backing
wise.
Ben Hunt.
From a Supercoach perspective, go, Matt.
Yeah, Supercoach wise, it's going to be while she's going to be bouncing around, heavily involved. So,
I think he said Reece Walsh
there'd
would
be
be
a couple of
important.
Broncos I'll be targeting for your finals team.
I think you might have been the one with the bad internet this time, Matt, because Guardsy and I still had it.
He said Reece Walsh is going to score 1,000 points against
Yeah,
the Raider Dogs.
it just came up and said mine was.
All right. We might.
Yeah, I just said Payne Haas is going to be thrown off.
Peyton Haas and Reece Walsh.
Yes. Get
Nice.
on
Someone shut us down and make us have a government-mandated break.
Guardsy, every time we analyse the games, we then throw to you for a chin list. Surely
Yes.
you don't have one after a Reece Walsh masterclass.
How dare you? I still have one. First is Grant Atkins because he had an absolute stinker. I don't care what anyone says. He thought that everyone was there to watch him on the weekend or Thursday night because he wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't put his whistle away. Some of the calls he was making were garbage. The first one he did when Dean Mariner was sin binned for three in a row, and then my man Paddy even jumped in and said to him, "They just gave away eight and you gave them a warning. We didn't get one." And Grant basically said, "Bad luck, off your trot." What do you mean, Grant? That makes no fucking sense. Paddy was right. They gave away 1,000 and he gave them a warning, and then they gave another one away and it was forgotten. We give away three and poor old Dean's in the bin. And it didn't fucking matter, Grant, because Melbourne are shit. So fuck off, Grant. He would have got the 3 points this week, though, Grant, I reckon. He has shit. And then fucking the Penrith wanker Brandy, he was just carrying on at halftime. And he when they showed the Paddy one, and he goes, "Well, no, Paddy, they gave away three too." Fuck off, Brandy. Learn to count. Your mouth drew a dog. That was bullshit too. Fuck Brandy. I hate him.
Big
And
on half time as well.
yeah, he was a wanker. Fuck Brandy. Then I've got Trent Loeres on the list because he should have been charged with rape on Thursday night. Did you see him laying on him? That is not allowed. You cannot touch people like that on a rugby league field. It made me very
I
angry.
think it's okay. I think he bought him dinner afterwards,
Oh. And then
so.
the final one, Canberra, fuck them. The Canberra milk fucks. They can all get stuffed. They're sooks. They don't need fucking 17 days off. None of them fucking played. They got beat by 50 anyway. Get fucked. Making me wait till Sunday. Now I have to go to work on Monday, hungover. I'm not happy.
Shout out to your employer.
Good finish to the season, Guardsy. Good finish. I have had it.
What happens when the Broncos don't play on Friday? They get a bit angry.
Yeah, I know. I had a comment from Jamie just to finish the year up. He said, "If I tallied them up, I went back. Jared Sutton was the most 3 points. Ashley Klein is second, and surprisingly, even though she didn't referee that many games, Belinda got the gong. Honourable mentions to Todd Smith and Adam G." When I mentioned that to Jamie, he said, "Can you just throw White's man in so I can give Trainer one last dig?" He did say he's had a lot of fun providing that for us in the year, and it's also provided quite a good laugh for the Moree fellas that listen to this podcast, which I know there's quite a few. So, thanks, Jamie, for your input this year. He had a bit of a rant, but I can't get back to it. I can't see how I can get to it. So. We'll hopefully have Jamie on again next year. His rants might be a little bit shorter. We'll still give the 3-2-1 because they often marry up to yours too, Guardsy. So there might be a post about the winner of the Injudicious Cup. He's made a little statue using AI, which I think is quite good. I'm a bit disappointed it wasn't Ashley Klein's bald head, but it might be Jared Sutton because he was the man who was most mentioned, and I'm sure that we all agree that that's probably pretty fair. The 3-2-1 for the shittest referees this year. Moving into this part of the podcast, really focusing on head to head or but focusing on positions for finals. You only get to pick one player in each position, maximum two players from each team. So I think you've got to be a bit strategic about what you do. We do have a finals league code. I've set up a finals league. If you want to join that, the code is 893198. To see if you can top that league in the finals. This is new for us as well, so you're on an even playing field because most of us haven't played NRL finals before. We'll jump straight in. We'll start at the top, hooker. I don't think there's too much to talk about in hooker. There's a couple of names with the teams that are left. It's a decision between Blake Brayley and Harry Grant. I think in that position, do we all agree?
Yep.
Do we want to just go with who we've decided, who you've decided, and give us a reason why you've decided on that player? Matt, we'll start with you.
I'm going Brayley because Harry Grant's playing the Bulldogs, and I think they will still defend reasonably well through the middle.
Guardsy.
Brayley, because it's Brayley, and I haven't had him all year.
Dan.
That's why I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to go Grant because I haven't had him all year.
Mark.
Yeah, I'm going Harry Grant as well, just because I think he will just control everything for Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm going Harry Grant as well, particularly with Jerome Hughes out. I think Harry Grant has to have a big game for them to get up over the top. Is there anyone else outside of those two that you could possibly go? I don't think it's the spot to try and be cute and be different, as in Dan's words. No, we're all going there. Right, front row forward. I also think this is a pretty narrow position as well. I think there's possibly three, and there might be one a little bit left to centre, but it's
Are
not
they
where I'd be
Payne
going.
Haas?
No, I've got it down. I've got it down, I think, to Payne Haas, Adam Fanua Blake, who I think will play pretty big minutes in that Sharks game, Joseph Tapanay, and a smoky that's done pretty well is Nath White, who is a potential, depending if you want to go lots of attacking players for the Broncos and not use Payne Haas, but I don't know why you would. Let's go through our players in these positions and give us the pros and cons of some other thoughts that you've had. Matt, we'll just start. We'll go through the same order. Matt, Guardsy, Dan, Mark, and then me.
Payne Haas, day game, we'll be offloading, we'll play good minutes, highest upside front rower.
Guardsy, your cue. You just jump in once Matt's finished.
No worries, mate. Payne as well, because yeah, I didn't even look at any other front row, to be honest. I think you have a big one.
Yeah, I'm loading up on Payne as well. Don't hate the Tarpany move though. Same sort of reason. Like got some attacking upside in him as well.
Payne Haas.
Yep, me too. So that's a clean sweep. Payne Haas. There really isn't a point, I don't think. If the Tigers somehow had have made the finals, I think it would have been an interesting conversation between Haas and May. I probably still would have leant towards Haas. Anyone else you could, Dan, you said Tarpanay. AFB just hasn't been the same man he was last year. Four forward bench. I just can't see the minutes coming that you need for him. The only way he'll outscore those guys is a try. And you can't bank on a try for a front rower, I don't think.
Hazelton played pretty big minutes off the bench last week, didn't he?
Yep, so that's Payne Haas. This is where I can see us being a little bit different in this second row forward spot. Matt, do you want to lead us into the thought process you had and who you ended up falling with in the 2RF position?
I'm going Eli Katoa. I think if the Storm are going to score against the Doggies, I think he'll be getting quite a few kick targets, and they'll run a fair bit of attack through him. They definitely did against us last week. I know Jerome was in there to start with, but I think they'll still feed him. High upside, great work rate. I just don't see too much upside in the rest of the back rowers left in the comp, to be honest.
Was there anyone else, a Hudson or anyone like that you thought?
Probably Angus Crichton probably would have been my second tip. I don't know, Hudson hasn't set the world on fire since I've owned him, so I'm not that keen to go back to him.
Guardsy.
Yeah, I went Katoa as well for the same reasons, I reckon, especially against the Dogs. He scores off kicks as well. Doesn't really score low. I did look at Hudson, but yeah, he's probably due a try, Hudson, but hopefully not.
Any thoughts around meat and potatoes like Isaiah Yeo, who'll play, you imagine, 80 minutes?
Didn't
No.
want to wasting a Panthers player on a friggin' second rower.
Yep. No, this is the conversation. Aaron Clark is the second highest average in the position.
Don't like his name.
Boring.
Okay. Dan, where have you landed?
Going Eli Katoa with that new left-hand side over at the Bulldogs there. Kick out, struggled as well a little bit. He was lucky to play this week, so who knows what kind of condition he's going to be in.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, I'm the same. I've got Eli Katoa going at that new combination there for the Bulldogs.
I've landed on Angus Crichton because I've got Harry Grant at hooker and I can only have two Storm players. I just think it's an opportunity to have a point of difference. I think Eli Katoa will be the most owned. And if he goes quiet, I think there's an opportunity in a game where there should be plenty of points that Crichton, who hasn't set the world on fire, final seems like his stage, doesn't it? Like he seems to perform at Origin. He comes good there. Also looked at Jacob Preston. He's been pretty outstanding. His work rate has been really, really good in that game. Like in the last few games, they've seemed to have gone a bit more to his side. Galvin particularly goes there, and the Storm Edge is a little bit different this week with him running. Will he run at Joe Chan?
Well, he's running at Munster, you'd think.
Yeah. Munster play on the left, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, don't know, just a bit of a thought on that one. Halfback. I know I've said it for the first three positions. I don't think it's very deep, and I actually think it's going to be a tricky game to play in week two and three when we've only got four teams, and even trickier when we get to the grand final. Halfback. Are you potting up or are
Cleary.
you just
Cleary next.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate.
Cleary. Cleary.
Dan?
Cleary of the Nathan variety.
Mark?
Times four.
Yeah, times five. I know that's boring, but I think the positions to pot up are not at halfback. The only two other players that I could imagine that we could have is Hines or Walker, and we'll probably talk about them a little bit more when we get down to the flex position and our strategy around how we're going to use that flex position. But Cleary, absolutely for me in that position, particularly in a game against the Warriors. 5'8". This is probably the weakest position. Would we agree that this is probably the weakest scoring position of the weekend? Is this a spot that you can pod if you're going to go something different? Where are you headed, Matt?
I'm taking my second Panthers player here and going Blaze Talangi. I think it's an ordinary position, and I'm going to go his upside.
Yep.
I'm going Munster, but I did have earlier in the week I had Talangi as well, but I wanted a different Panthers player, so I went Munster just because with Hughes out, Munster tried to control them last week, so.
Yep. Dan?
Yeah, I'm jumping on that Tony train to train too because I just think that Penrith win by an absolute cricket score here and yeah, I want those two attacking halves.
Mark, where are you going?
I've gone for Ethan Strange.
Okay.
That's who I had before I changed to
Are you
Talanga. Good shout.
targeting Strange because it's a day game?
Yes.
Okay.
I had that too, and then I'm off the Raiders, so.
I'm on Munster as well. So there's a tiebreaker for who we put in our consensus team because Mary has asked me to lobby everybody to find the team. So we've got a tie between Blaze, Talangi, and Cameron Munster. Mark, you'll be the deciding vote
I mean, I
because
would
you went Grange.
go with Blaze Talangi.
Okay. So Mary gets Blaze. Centre wing, this is an area that I think we might talk for a while, boys, because there's plenty of options here. And there's twos and pros and cons for all of them. Trying to talk us through your thought process at centre wing.
I'm going Daniel Tupou here. I've already used my two Panthers slots previously, and I think the next high scoring team will potentially be the Roosters. I'm going Daniel Tupou because Sam Walker is back in the team, and typically when Walker plays, they go more left. Toops has got good base, especially in a finals game. I think the kick target on the wing will be a big threat. Defensive sides will be a bit more up for it. So yeah, I'm going Toops.
Guardy.
I've got Brian Doyle.
Oh.
One reason, because he plays for Penrith and he could score 1,000. And the other reason was because Trainer owned him and it'd be really fun for Big and I haven't.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's very good, Dan.
Oh, yeah, Marky Mark. I just love watching the bloke play. And yeah, I think that's purely for selfish reasons that I want to see him go well and cheering on.
Mark.
I initially did have Noongar Niitawase there, but yeah, the concerns around Walker, and I know he went right last week, but I think Matt's right. I think they'll probably target Sione Katoa on that side. That's who
Yeah.
Tupou will be going at, won't it?
Yeah.
I think
Yep.
that's who they target with the kicks, I think. So on the basis that I want two Panthers, I've gone for Casey McLean.
Great minds think alike because I've landed on Casey McLean as well. I have written down a list of Mark Nwagindawase, Kaoliro, Roger, because I think Roger's base is not too bad. And if he can sneak a try, he can probably get 80 or 90. And I think that might be a pretty good score. McLean, Paul Alamotti is a bit of a sneaky one as well. on the opposite wing to Tyre. They seem to go that way all the time. Tupou and Xavier Coates, if you really have a constitution for risk, would be the other spot to go if you've got a spare Melbourne Storm player, which I don't know that many do, because you're probably either going to take Munster, Katoa, or Grant, or two of those three anyway. So it left me down with Casey McLean. I just think I want an attacking player from, and a guy that just takes the line on, puts the ball under his arm, and hopefully goes through. He's also a Kiwi, playing against the Warriors, so I didn't mind that as a little side story. Fullbacks, Matt, where did you get to with fullbacks? It's down to three, isn't it?
Wesley Walsh.
Just Walshy.
Walshy for
Day
me.
game, kicking goals, less goal.
Yep. Walshy.
Scoring
Lock
a ton of
him in.
kicking goals. I'm all about Reece Walsh
He's
too.
going to drink some toilet water, win us the game, and all the Raiders fans can go home and drink their milk.
They can fuck themselves.
Yeah, they bring the sausages.
Mark.
I've gone for Reece as well. Didn't own him in the regular season. Let's get on board.
Let's make that a clean sweep. I'm going Walsh. The other two that I talked about, Teddy and Edwards, they'll be high in the discussions. We'll get to the flex position. How are you tackling the flex position? And what player are you putting there, Matt?
Nothing changes here. Same old. I want two fullbacks in my team. Teddy will be in.
Any thoughts on Edwards? Or he's not the
I've
attacking player that
already
you'd
got
want?
two Panthers players, unfortunately, and I'm pretty happy to have Tedesco on my team.
Guardsy.
Yeah, I've got Tedesco as well, mainly because I didn't have any Roosters, so Teddy seems like a fairly safe bet.
So we've got no Sharks at the minute, except I've got Brayley. Like some people have got Brayley. We've got absolutely no Warriors. Is that right?
No dogs either.
No Dogs either. So, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going Tedesco. When you mentioned Edwards, there's been lots of comments that perhaps Edwards isn't 100%. I think this could also be, a bit of a shootout for the Australian position as well, at fullback. Whether they take Tedesco, who's clearly going to win the Dally M Player of the Year.
Mate, I tell you what, if they don't take Reece Walsh to play fullback for Australia against the Poms, he will absolutely tear them a new one.
Yep.
It would be ridiculous. You're not taking the form guy if he doesn't take Walsh. Mark.
I've got Tedesco as
Yeah,
well.
I've got Teddy as well. What I've noticed is that we've gone pretty consistent, which gets me over to the next part of this show. Captains and vice captains. Captains are worth three times, so there's no loop, Mark. So you'll be happy about that. No loop. And vice captains are worth two. What's your strategy around captains and vice captains? Dan, I'm going to start with you. Have you got a strategy around captains and vice captains?
Yep, I will be captaining Reece Walsh purely because I'm a Broncos fan and I want to see this go really well. I'm going to be seeing Nathan Cleary.
Mark?
I'm going to put the captaincy on who I think is going to score the most points, and I think that will be Nathan
That's
Cleary.
the correct strategy, Mark. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought that
That's
would
what I
be
was hoping Dan was
the
going to say.
Yeah.
Not who he wants to get the most, who he thinks will get the
I'm all about who I want. That's how I won the tipping contest.
most.
It's about who I wanted to win.
Some sanity prevails, hey Matt.
Yeah, well done.
So I've got the C on Cleary and I have the VC on Walsh.
Correct.
Matt, what have you got?
Same.
Guardsy?
I have also got the same.
Well, I'm going a little bit different.
Yeah, nice to be different.
Just
Don't
a little
mind
bit different.
Liam.
I've got the C on Cleary. Reece Walsh has to stop at some point, and
It won't be this
I
week.
don't
It
know
will
if it'll be
stop.
this week.
It will stop when he wins us the comp. It'll stop.
You can stop next week when we have the week off.
But I think I'm going to lock in Payne Haas's obviously pretty good score, and I'm going to go VC on him to get double his points, because I would hate to see one of those players flop. I just can't see Payne flopping in this game. I can see him getting good minutes, and I can see him 80 plus at least, locking 160, and that's just a bit of a strategy around safety, particularly there. But then I think about it, and I think this game is probably not built for safety. I think if you go safe, you're probably going to be middle of the table and not be able to make up any ground, especially when there's less options.
You know what it's built for, Dave? It's built
Hey,
for fun.
built for fun. Plenty of trades and built for fun. which makes me think that, but everyone I think is going to captain or vice captain Reece Walsh and captain or vice captain Cleary. So there's an option.
What about a James Tedesco?
Yeah, so there's an option to do something like that. That's where I'm thinking. If I'm going to go VC, it'll probably be on Teddy and a captain on Cleary. And if Walsh goes well, happy days for you blokes. And I cashed in on him at the end of the regular season. So it's sort of the way I'm thinking. I've rethought my strategy on the run when everyone else is talking about high risk. And I think you do have to go high risk to actually make this. That's why I'm a bit nervous that our team is very, very cookie cutter. And I think it's going to be the same as everybody else's. I just don't know where the differentiation, I suppose, Blaise Talangi might
Yeah,
be
but look,
different.
at the end of the day, you still have to pick the highest scoring players. And like, I think 5'8" and centre wing, there's going to be a lot of variety there.
Yeah.
And if when Payne Haas gets 90 and everyone else gets 70, you're 20 points up.
Yeah, that's right. So that's why I think front row, halfback, and fullbacks is the place not to pod, but I do think 2RF, 5'8", and centre wing are the places to pod up.
Yep.
So that's how I'm playing the game. Mark, do you have a multi this week?
Your hook is 50-52.
Yeah, hook. I think the hookers are going to be within not many of each other. Flip a coin. One might get 70, one might get 75.
I do have a multi this week. Thank you for asking. Four games. I've just decided to pick a try scorer in every game. So we've got a
Okay.
four-legger this week. How about
How many of them are Matt Traynor's team?
that? Who'd you have at
Doesn't
hook?
matter anymore.
You don't care. Yeah.
Don't give a rat's. Load me up.
Unfortunately, I picked the wrong Parramatta winger last week, but I still had fun watching Josh Adokar score three tries. In the Melbourne Dogs game, I've got Harry Grant to score a try. Pretty juicy odds, Harry. I've got Casey McLean in the Panthers Warriors game. I've got Billy Smith in the Sharks Roosters.
He hasn't scored in a while, has he?
No. But I think he can get one. I'm envisioning a kick over the top, Tupou, little handoff in the air to Billy Smith try.
Reckon he could sniff one out.
If anyone can, he can.
That's good from you, Matt.
And we mentioned it earlier, but Hudson Young has had a bit of a dry spell. So I've got Hudson in for a try as
Mate,
well.
it can still be 32-4.
No.
You'll score one at the end, Ian. It's fine, mate. You'll score one when Reece Walsh is on the
No.
sidelines resting up.
Fuck these cream dogs.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
So aggressive. How are you going to get through the week?
Oh, no.
All the way to Sunday?
It's like, you,
They've stirred me up.
oh, you've stirred yourself up.
No,
Jesus.
it was them.
Fucking hell.
Chinless 2.0.
Yeah. So all four of those to score, pretty juicy odds. Oh, $81.97. $101.13 with a boost. So I'm going to play the doubles, the trebles, and the all up this
Jesus
week.
Christ,
So
that's going to cost you a gazillion
you
dollars.
don't have to have a
He's
lot
going
on
to
it.
make a gazillion dollars, though. He's going to
Yeah.
win.
You're happy with it?
Yeah,
All
sure.
right. All right, boys, this is the end. This is the end. I don't think we'll do another podcast this year. We've given you our tips in how to tip into the
Government-mandated break.
Yeah, tips into
Government
the
break.
we have to have a stand down. We'll come back early next year. When will it be? 2026 for the 2026 season. Can you believe that
Gonna get
season's
a
over?
pretty good
Anyway,
game solid.
thanks, boys. Good luck with your finals teams. Good luck to the Broncos. And to our loyal listeners, thanks for that.